Oh, Mr. Hamm.
Excuse me. I'd like to say one thing I forgot to tell. I always listen to this here about native land claim. This is kind of hard to talk about. What it happened? First, when it began, they've been working on it for so many years to talk about it. By the time we have a convention, EMB convention in Haines, 1929, this is when they got it. The reason why I want to talk about this, it's kind of hard for us. This land claim, we didn't sell the land. Paul, William Paul Sr., is my uncle's brother. He's my uncle. He's talking to us about it. What they took from here, from Alaska, they took in our fish, they took in our gold, they've taken our bottom fish and they took cutting all this tree. This is what we're going to sue them, not the land. The land is ours yet. So anytime when I talk about Chilkoot, when they put the fish away there, they put it in front of me about the land sue. And then they said this belongs to the states, all this river here. And I told them, I don't think so. It belongs to us. And I told, I am a raven. And I told them, how did we get this water? The time Raven created the world, where he gets the water, and we know it, where it is. We don't have no running water, nothing. I had a film we call Hashagun. I put it on. Some of the story it shows. And then the raven, after he finished, he don't know what to do. Just a little bit, I could start it from up here. You know where that islands are. When he was walking, what shall I do next to finish this world? He was walking. When he was walking, he reached down. There was a flat rock, he picked it up. He was thinking about what he's going to do. He was just swinging it around his hand. Then it came to him what he's going to do. That's when he threw that rock right on the water and skidded it out. That's what you see there, what the raven did. So all this and what he done for us, not us Tlingit, not only us Tlingit, every one of us sitting here, Alaska, from here to Don Kichkan, Nas they call it. From there they working together. When he was putting it together, this is the story. And that water, he got it from the island, spring water. Spring water is about the biggest here. And he took it from there, Nas, all big river, all the way to Chilkat and Yakutat. That's why when he told me, this is belongs to the States. The raven put it here, I told him. Not the States put this river here. It belongs to us, that we belong to our raven. So all the story that we know, and we had a lot of tough time that I hear about the land Sioux. We still got a place, the forest from Burness Bay down, that's where they paid. And we got the map. William Paul was saying, second land Sioux, soon as they start cutting these trees here. Now it happened, they cut the trees down. So all this thing, it's really hurting us. But by right, they took everything away from us. Anyway, I always said, let's work together with them. Why I'm saying it, my son was murdered with a white girl, and my daughter murdered with a white man. Every one of them are different. So we should work together. That's what I told to my Tlingits. They agree with it, but from Huna, you made a mistake, they said. And why do you adopt a white man? And I adopt some. We're all brothers now. So that's why I told you I will work with you whatever you need me. And I thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Hammond. Well, let me, in thanking Austin Hammond, thank all of you for participating in the round table these last 4 days. I appreciate your attendance and the contribution that each of you has made. Might I just repeat what I said at the outset, that the reason I called this meeting was that I have been traveling in the villages since the beginning of the year. I've been to 40 villages. I've held hearings in all of them. I've heard from more than 800 Alaskan Native witnesses. And I've heard about ANCSA and about 1991 and taxation and shares and the new natives. But more than anything else, I've been hearing about subsistence. So I called this meeting so that all of you could teach me a little more about it. You don't have to go very far in Alaska to find that subsistence is vital to people. I was at the Whaling Festival in Port Hope in June and July. I was at Hooslea. You can see that people are still dependent on the land, that marine mammals, the fish and wildlife that are in such abundance here are vital to them. I think it's also apparent that people out there are greatly concerned about ANCSA and its impact on subsistence. When I was at Anaktuvuk Pass in August, the villagers there told me about how their access to the caribou and gates of the Arctic National Park had been limited because their regional corporation had made an exchange of lands with the federal government that meant the land over which they had to pass to obtain access to the park was now under federal control and no longer open to them in the way that it had been. And that's just an example. When I was in Southeast Alaska, I was at both Sitka and Angoon, and everybody from Southeast Alaska can tell you about the conflict there between the urban corporation of Sitka, the Sciatica Corporation, that owns certain forest lands on Admiralty Island, and the people of Angoon who resist the logging of those lands because they say it threatens their subsistence way of life. So there you have another conflict that may be said to have its origins in ANCSA. But what I wanted to find out from all of you was what people out there are doing about it. And I'm very pleased that we heard in detail, not only in Steve Langdon's paper, but from all of you, what measures people are taking on their own. And it may be that in the end, those measures that people in the villages are taking by themselves and for themselves are more important than the stream of legislation emanating from Washington, D.C. And Juneau. Some of you have emphasized the importance of habitat, of access, of management. All of those issues have their own relationships to ANCSA, and I think we've learned a lot. Just one thought about what might be called the political or public relations aspect of subsistence. Some of us were talking at lunch about the place the family farm has established in the psyche of Americans and Canadians, the great public out there, if you say the family farm. You know, you won't find a politician who has a bad word to say about the family farm. They'll all vote for it. They'll all support the family farm. Not because it's the most efficient unit of production, but because there are values in keeping those families together, those communities functioning. They think that there are positive social values that serve all Americans and all Canadians. If it were possible to discuss the subsistence way of life of northern peoples in Alaska and in Canada in the same vein, that is, that having families on the land is a positive social value, that maintaining those villages and the subsistence way of life in those villages is in its own way just as valuable to life in America and in Canada as the family farm. And I think there are resemblances that deserve to be considered and discussed. It may be that people out there would be rather more willing to accept the importance of it. Well, that's all I've got to say. It's been four useful days. I can tell you that we're holding a round table next month on 1991, and we are going to have some people here from Alaska, Native people, and lawyers. 1991 is a subject on which, regrettably or otherwise, lawyers have to be part of the discussion. And we're bringing some people from the Lower 48 to talk about it too. Then in December, we're having a round table on what I like to call alternate ideas about Native land and government. And we're bringing some people in from the Lower 48 and from other countries to look at that. I am going to continue to travel around the state until early in the new year. I will be preparing a report that will be made public. ICC has agreed it will be made public in the summer of 1985. It will be ready by then and will be sent, of course, to all of you. But I think that just as important as any report that I might write is the whole process of discussion, of airing ideas, exchanging ideas, that is exemplified by this week's roundtable. So thank you again, and I think that since there is Bingorama here tonight, a double session Saturday, that they would be grateful to us if we vacated the hall within a few minutes. Yes, forgive me, Don. We invite you all back to the Review Commission's offices at 417 D Street. 429 D Street.
That's the adult bookstore.
David reminds me 417 is the adult bookstore, so. The number is burned into his brain. Well, 429 D Street. If you'd like to join us there in a few minutes, there will be refreshments, and we can have a last greeting or two. So thank you again.